Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Welcome to another episode of Together, part of the Bridge Podcast Network. Together, hosted by author, pastor, and communicator Jack Eason, will equip us in overcoming loneliness. We'll learn to identify what gets in the way of real community, how to develop and deepen true friendships, and discover a place of true belonging. Now, here is the host of Together, Jack Eason.
Hey guys, and my friend today is Ziggy Santini. I hope I'm getting that right, who has done a lot of work. If you Google his name, and we'll talk about how to get connected with him in just a minute, Google him online, and also especially this issue of loneliness, you'll find a lot of articles and a lot of things that he has written. So let's get after it. Hey, welcome. Thanks for connecting with us all the way across the world.
Thank you.
Hey, what for you got you interested? I mean, I came across several articles doing some research, and even now that the book that I wrote is out, I'm still intrigued by what other people have to say. For you, what got you thinking about loneliness? Was that something that on your mind before the pandemic, or was the pandemic kind of a catalyst for you to start thinking about it?
No, I mean, it's a common research interest of mine. And I've always been interested in social psychology and so forth. I initially got into the whole academic field, probably because, honestly, I was always very influenced. I feel I was always very influenced by social relationships, social dynamics in my upbringing and my school and my background. It has such a huge impact on me, and it's not that I'm any different than other people. I think that other people are just as much influenced by the people around them. So, but I have always been fascinated about the power of the social influence, the social context you're in. So it has always been something that's been very interesting to me. And during my university studies, I did a lot of research and studies in social psychology, and then also later on public health and social epidemiology, looking at social context factors and how they sort of can be determinants of our health, especially our mental health, also like mental illnesses and even physical health and mortality.
Yeah. Yes. You are, of course, just to tell people a little bit more about you, you're at the Danish National Institute of Public Health, I believe, and University of Southern Denmark. Yes. So if you're watching or you're listening and you're thinking, I don't know anybody in Denmark, now you do. Now you do. So how about that? Very cool. What now, obviously, with the addition of the pandemic, what are you seeing in the way of loneliness? And how are people responding? How are we dealing with this as a culture and in our world? What are some of the things you're seeing?
All right. Well, there's probably three things that are important to mention here. And one is that globally, we're seeing declines in mental health. And that's it. That's just as much in the Western world. It's in Europe, and it's also in the U.S. So just this pandemic is really affecting mental health in the general population. And this is affecting a lot of people. And so this is the first thing. And then what's important to keep in mind is that a lot of different factors can affect mental health. And there's, for example, say financial insecurity and economic hardship. A lot of people, they're affected by this. And I know that's also especially the case in the U.S., where it's often the case that people have much less of a social safety net. So this is one factor that can influence it. Then also some people can be very affected by the media exposure, because every time you turn on the news, there's talk about the COVID-19 every single time. You just can't escape it. And some people are affected by it as well. So there are many different factors associated with the pandemic that affects mental health. But then one factor that we can't disregard is, of course, the social factor, because this pandemic has turned our lives, and especially our social lives and our daily routines, upside down. Everything is different. Everything is completely away from what we are used to in our daily living. So, and what we are seeing in our research is that also a lot of people are feeling more lonely since the pandemic started. So a lot of people are feeling that they have worse mental health, and we're seeing that they are also feeling more lonely since the pandemic. And this is expected because, well, people have been unable to be in contact as they have before. They have been unable to stay in contact with their social relationships and even their close social relationships. Some people have been isolated for longer periods of time. So this has, of course, has had an impact. And then what we can see is just that there is very strong associations between feeling that mental health has worsened and then feeling that there is increased loneliness. All right. So we just see very strong relationships, very strong associations. So if you are reporting loneliness, then you also at much higher risk of reporting worsened mental health. So there's very tight links between those two.
I was going to say that makes a lot of sense.
Yes, doesn't it? So I've been doing research on the older population, which is the 50 plus in Europe. And this is just to say that they are doing, we can see that this has affected them. The pandemic has been detrimental for them. But there's also some research that indicates that even though it has been so for them, then for this age group, then they actually seem to be maybe faring better than the younger groups. So this just to say it's not good for those that are above 50, and it might be even worse among the younger populations. Okay. Yeah.
How do we tackle it with what you have seen? I know, you've written a lot of articles, and we'll talk about how people can find those and get more information from you. But, I know some of the things that we would think would help us overcome. And of course, now we're in the midst of this pandemic, but even if we weren't in the midst of the pandemic, because I suspect when the pandemic is over, loneliness will still be an issue. But what are some, I guess, some constructive ways you would recommend for people who feel lonely to kind of get out of that feeling?
Yeah. Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I say that especially because I do know a few things that I would like to talk about. But of course, we're in this pandemic now, and, well, none of us have been prepared for this because things are different now, which means that there are certain things that could work for us, but we can't do them at the moment because there is a risk of infection, and there is that people are worrying about getting close to other people, and they're trying to social distance. So how on earth are you going to socialize with others when you also try to keep distance from others? Yes, that's a very difficult thing to do. And that requires a little bit of creativity. Not necessarily a lot of effort, I think, but some creativity. Yeah. And the thing is that I think that some people are better able to do this on their own, whereas other people, they might need a little bit of a nudge, a little bit of help to be able to do that. And I think that these people that are very affected by this pandemic might also be the ones that perhaps have less resources, psychological, and whatever it might be, to be able to do this. So, and of course, my interest is to be able to help all of these people that are affected by it. And some things that of course is important is how can we socialize under pandemic conditions. And I would say, well, we know that spending time outdoors is good for our mental health. We know that altogether, that's in general, that is something that is that promotes mental health. It's good for us to be in contact with nature. And we also know that something like being in nature is something that the virus does not like. All right.
That's right.
The virus is less infectious when out in nature. Okay. So that's a good opportunity to do something with other people, because there's less risk of being infected when you're out in nature. Okay. And then I would encourage socializing with other people, but where you can also keep the distance. And that's especially ways that you can keep active with other people, but preferably non-contact sports. Yeah. So that's stuff like tennis, that's golfing, that's kayaking. Yeah. All sorts of social activities where you can be together without necessarily having to come very close to each other. Yeah.
That's great.
So I would very much encourage outside, outdoor activities where you can do things with other people, but while maintaining distance.
Yeah. Those are great.
And I think that a lot of people are not aware of the importance of doing this. And this might also be why we're seeing these declines in mental health. Because a lot of people might be unaware that this stuff is important to maintain good mental health. The other thing that I've been talking about is important is something like, well, in this case, we have another opportunity, which is digital connections. And I'm well aware that it's just not the same with digital connections. It's just not the same when it's on a screen. Yeah. But nevertheless, it is something that can help us if we can use it in a way where we're active online with other people, and we can have sort of like a close personal relationship with someone online, then I think it can make a difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think that, because it's not just physical health that is suffering during these times, but it's also to some extent physical health. It's not just mental health that is suffering these days, but it's also physical health. And so what could be a way to go might be something like video games, actually. And often when we think of video games, then we're thinking young people, but I'm actually particularly interested in the older generations that don't usually use video games, because there's quite a lot of promising research that says that they can, and it can be a really good way. And especially the types of, Nintendo Wii type of video games where there's movement as well, where you can sort of keep active while you're playing a video game. And then if it's possible to combine this with being social with other people, playing these games with other people digitally, then I think that could be a really exciting, smart new way to keep active, and also while socially connecting with other people, where there's zero risk of infection. Yeah,
that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, so that's that's something that I think we should be better at using, and I'm especially also sort of interested or hoping that sort of policymakers they will receive some of these some of this advice, that it's not just, I don't just want this burden to be on individuals for them to do it themselves, but I would love to see that governments and policymakers they receive this advice, and then they try to do some kind of interventions that could be put in place to reach the people that are obviously needing some stimulation to be able to do this, some nudging, some help, some facilitation.
Those are such great ideas, especially with the older people, and of course for all of us, if we're not physical, we tend to get lethargic, and then that leads to feeling bad about ourselves, and then it's a downward spiral. So you're right, but I've never thought about that for the older people. getting physical with the Wii. That's awesome. That's a great, idea. Let's assume that hopefully 2 months from now, COVID is over. We're back to some semblance of normal. Yeah, that'd be a good thing. Hopefully we get there. Do you think, and hopefully we'll learn from all this, the importance of all the things that you're saying and talking about with connection.
You love the people in your life, but sometimes you just don't understand each other. Wouldn't it be great if there was a tool to help you do that?
The Enneagram is a great tool to inspire better connections with others, ourselves, and God. It's about learning what motivates us or how we and others see the world. Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Kim. Join us on the journey to better relationships utilizing the Enneagram.
Check out our podcast, If You Really Knew Me, and subscribe today.
But do you think with the digital things and technology, has that, especially for the, I know you talked about the older folks, but for the younger group, has that created a false sense of connectivity before COVID? And I have a lot of 20-some-year-old friends, and they're like, I thought I was so connected because I have 3,400 Facebook friends. And then COVID hits, and it's like, okay, well, I'm really not as connected as I thought. How has that played in your research of maybe a misconception to people about their true connections?
All right. Yeah, well, first off, I think I'd like to separate between social media connections and then when you are gaming, like video gaming, because I think there might be a difference there. Yeah. And I think that if you play video games, then there might be a chance that you have closer relationships with the people that you play with. Mm. I have often heard that people that play video games in groups, they can play with people from other countries and they actually know them quite well. Mm. So you can sort of develop quite a personal relationship with someone that you play video games with. Now, this is not really part of my research, so I can't say this for sure, but this is what I imagine it might be happening. Whereas social media is a whole different thing, because I think, well, most of the time, for most people, social media is just not really very social. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's all about self-promotion, and people are using it in a way of promoting themselves, and there's not really much social going on. It's not really succeeding in connecting people. So it can be okay, but as far as I could tell from scientific reviews, is that sometimes it's beneficial to mental health, but it's beneficial only when people use it in a way to maintain quality relationships or to establish new relationships that become personal relationships.
Yeah.
Then it's beneficial to mental health. But if they're using it in different ways, then it doesn't appear to be benefiting mental health. And sometimes it might even be detrimental. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
So if you really want to use social media, then you have to be social about it. Otherwise, it might not benefit you.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense, doesn't it?
I think so.
Most of the time, our social media engagement is just one way. It's throwing out our thoughts, but there's no interaction. So you're exactly right. That's good.
Yes. Well, I think I just read today a quote from Plato. I think he said that opinion is the lowest form of knowledge because it requires no effort and no understanding. Mm. Anyone can make up an opinion.
Yeah.
But the highest form of knowledge is empathy, because it requires that you put yourself in another person's shoes. Mm. So again, I didn't say that. Plato said it, but I think it's very, very intelligent. Yeah. But in general, what we know from research is that, being oriented inwards against, like being thinking about ourselves, is generally not very beneficial to mental health. There's only a few exceptions where it can be sort of like a benefit to think inwards. And the first thing is sort of like to find peace and calm. So, and that can be sort of like taking time to reset yourself, to for example, to breathe. Some people, they use certain mindfulness and meditation techniques to sort of reset themselves. And in that case, it can be beneficial to think inwards, yeah, to think about yourself or whatever it might be. The second thing is self-reflection, to reflect on who you are and what you're doing in order to improve your situation and in order to develop, yeah? And maybe in the first case, just to get a clear view of who you are. A lot of people, they might live in a with a false idea of who they actually are. So just something as simple as taking a look at yourself, take a look in the mirror and figure out who you are, then that can be beneficial. And of course, also with the purpose of some personal development. And the last thing, the third way that it can benefit to look inwards is through gratitude. Yeah. To think about what you can be thankful for.
Yes.
And that is something that these three things, we know that they are some things that can benefit mental health. Yeah. But apart from these things, most other things, they do not benefit us when we think about ourselves, when we focus on ourselves, when we try to promote ourselves. Then it's usually better for us, for our mental health, to think outwards in terms of what difference can we make to others around us. How can I make a difference to someone or something? Or how can I somehow contribute to the community around me or the world I'm living in? That is something that we know can really benefit mental health.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think, obviously, I don't know a lot about Denmark. I'm intrigued by Denmark, and that's on my bucket list of one day getting to come visit. But I've been to, I don't know, probably a dozen other countries on the planet. And I know at least in the United States, it seems like what you're talking about with inward reflection and meditation and spirituality and those things, it seems like that young demographic that is extremely affected with loneliness, at least in the US, they've rejected that spirituality and the things that you mentioned are an outlet to get better. I guess, and you probably can't project or guesstimate why that's the case in the US, but are you seeing that in Denmark? Why do you think that age group has said that's not an option for me? And what are we missing there? Because I agree with you. I think that some of those things you mentioned are so very important.
Yeah. Well, I can't say exactly why. So I do want to say that I think that Denmark is probably a lot more atheistic than in the US. Yeah. And sometimes a lot more uncomfortable talking about God and spirituality than Americans. So why has this occurred? There must be a million reasons why. Obviously, I would say it's a failure of the church to reach people. And sometimes what happens in Denmark is that that young people, they turn to other religions. Because the thing is that a lot of young people are actually still searching for some sense of meaning, something deeper. This is a basic need for a lot of people to find something deeper. So a lot of them are searching, and then sometimes they turn to other religions that are not really native to Denmark. And by that, I mean, they might turn to Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever it might be to find answers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I would say that the need is definitely there. I can't speak for everyone, of course, but I think a lot of people are walking around with a need. And then, of course, they're in a situation where they don't find what they're looking for. And then they're also constantly being fed by this culture where you have to learn to self-promote. Yeah, we're living in an age of self-promotion. And this is basically doing the exact opposite from what religion tries to do. You try to become smaller so that whatever spiritual thing you're believing in can become bigger and have more weight. But in this age, then everything is about making yourself bigger. Yeah. And you have to be the most popular. You have to be the one that that has the most significance, that everyone is looking to. You have to have the most followers and everything. And young people, they learn this from very early on. And then something else that is quite interesting that you might not know is that there's actually research to suggest that self-centeredness and loneliness, they tend to reinforce each other over time.
Wow.
So they're actually quite strongly linked.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's a problem because that means that it's not just that people feel lonely and then they become more self-centered, but it's also when people become more self-centered. Well, what happens? When you become a more self-centered person, then it's more difficult to find friends, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then people can become lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I once saw it on a sign, and I think it's worth mentioning here. And it's not something that's particularly brilliant, but at the same time, it has it really speaks volumes. And it's just this: your ego is not your amigo. All right. Did you get that? Mm. Your ego is not your amigo. All right. Yeah. I thought it was funny. So
that's awesome. I do too. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So, anyways, I do like to just mention something that I think is quite important. And this is about what can actually be done in practice. So I work in mental health promotion. And the reason I want to say this is also because it's actually quite close to you. Because in your neighboring state, in North Carolina, there's a university there called Elon University that you are probably aware of. Yes. And they have implemented a mental health promotion program called the Act, Belong, Commit. All right. And I know this because we have the same campaign in Denmark, and I have been there and collaborating with them on this mental health promotion campaign.
Oh, wow.
And they have implemented this program in order to promote and enhance mental health among their students. And this is a very simple campaign with very simple principles about what people can actually do themselves to enhance and strengthen their own mental health. And we call it the ABCs of mental health. Mm. And the ABC is because it's the Act, Belong, Commit. And they are just three very simple principles, very simple practical principles about what you can do yourself. The first one is ACT. It means that you keep active in various ways, physically, but also mentally, and also spiritually, and also socially. Yeah, you keep active because we know that these things, they are important for our mental health. Just feeling active is something that we associate with good mental health. The next one is belong. And that means that you keep in contact with your close social relationships, and you also try to establish new ones when you have a chance. When you find new potential mates, then you reach out and you try to establish new relationships. Mm. And then the last one is commit. And that means that you commit to some courses that are meaningful, or some challenges that can give you a sense of meaning. Yeah. So how might this look? This might look like that you simply find ways to keep active in your daily living. Yeah, it can be through sports. It can be through an interest. Yeah, it can be a spiritual activity. Yeah, it can also be something that requires concentration. And it can also be spiritual activities. Yeah, it can be religion too. Mm. And the next thing is that you make sure that you stay connected with other people, because we know that this is fundamental for your mental health. And the last thing is that you commit to something that gives you a sense of meaning. It doesn't have to be a lot, but just at least one thing that gives you a sense of meaning. And for some people, it might be learning to play a new instrument and then going all the way. Yeah. Then continuing and persevering. And to others, it might mean that you become a volunteer in an organization where you contribute to society and you engage in something where you can make a difference to someone else or something else in the world. Yeah. Just something that you can commit to and that where you feel that you can make a difference, either to yourself, it's okay if it's about learning a skill, or something that is outwardly oriented, where it's some kind of contribution to your community. Yeah? So yeah. That's the Act, Belong, Commit, the ABCs of mental health. And again, they have this implemented at the Elon University, where they're doing quite a lot of promising work with that as well.
That's fantastic.
To see that spread in the U.S. because personally, I think it's quite a simple, it's an ABC. It's easy to remember. Act, Belong, Commit. After you said it a few times, then you remember it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that what we know from research is that a lot of people, they intuitively know what they can do. If we ask them what is important in mental health, then they will mention some of these things. But the problem is that a lot of people, they simply forget to prioritize it in their lives.
Yeah.
And they think of whatever they might have, like hobbies, they think of them as just something that they might do because they're interested in it, but they don't think of them as something that's actually important for their mental health.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
For example, if you go to if you're joining a tennis club and you go there for a while, then you might think of it as something that you're just doing once in a while, but you're not thinking of it as something that is actually important for you to maintain good mental health. Yeah. And then as soon as people are pressed and stressed and they have a little time, then these things are the first to go, and then they stop going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or then they drop the tennis and then they go to a gym instead, and then they stand there alone and just push the weights or whatever it might be. Yeah. But we know this is actually not so good, because these things, going to a group sport or whatever it might be, it's really good for mental health. Yeah. And it's something that can be a factor for resilience later on when you start to have, if you have some challenges in life, then you have, for example, a network of people where you can talk to them. And sometimes it's also just going somewhere and being active that gets you out of your mind and focused on some activity. And then things are a little bit lighter. Yeah. So these things can be really important, but a lot of people, they don't think of them that way. So our mission is simply to remind people, make them aware that there are certain things that they can actually do themselves to maintain their mental health.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not at the mercy of a doctor or a psychiatrist or a therapist.
Yeah.
But there's actually things that you can implement in your own life that can really make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all about.
That's right. Wow. So this is a concept that you started, the Act, Belong, Commit.
I don't want to take the credit for it, but I have been working on it, and my colleagues over at Elon University, they have also worked very hard on it recently. They implemented it recently in last year, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It originates in Australia with a professor of mine called Rob Donovan, and he came up with this concept with his colleagues. And then it's just taken off because, it's become immensely popular because of its simplicity
and
practicality.
Yeah, I love that. What do you know what the status is for Elon to help get that promoted to other universities and colleges in America?
They have implemented it for the sake of their students. So they have sort of they have been the pioneers in the U.S. to take this step to sort of take care of their students' mental health. And this is very important because across Western societies, we also see that especially students, there's a decline in mental health.
Yeah.
So students don't have as good mental health and well-being as they did previously.
Yes.
So they are vulnerable population, and you want to take care of that.
Yeah.
So they have taken this step of implementing this program at Elon. And of course, there are other universities in the U.S. where they have used other programs to do something similar.
Mm-hmm.
But the Elon University is the first one to implement this Act, Belong, Commit program.
Wow. Yeah. I'm so glad you shared that, because I will reach out to them as well, because that's very intriguing. And I was kind of pulling up something while you were talking, just looking that they have a director of campus recreation and wellness.
Yes.
I don't know if that is a normal thing for universities and college campuses. It should be. It wasn't when I was in college, but that's been a long time ago. But to have a director of wellness, professor of exercise science, people you probably serve with when you had the mental health summit there. But
Well, you want to get in touch with Eric Hall or Carolyn Ketchman.
Okay.
Carolyn Ketchman. And they should be able to tell you a lot more about how they're doing it at university. Awesome. But then, of course, I mean, they are interested in getting this really getting students involved and active at their university. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if others want to follow suit and adopt it as well, that's great.
Yeah.
But as far as they're concerned, they are interested in implementing it among their students and also then in the community surrounding their university to create the best conditions for mental health and well-being they are.
Yeah. Ziggy, I've taken way more of your time than I intended to. Thank you very, very much. Great information. And you have my brain thinking, which is always a good thing. Any last things that you wanted to share that I didn't ask about?
No, I think we covered quite a lot. I mean, it's possible to talk on hours for about these things, but I think we covered the important parts, and I wish you good luck in the U.S. and in your state, and also in your work. I think it's wonderful that you're doing this thing, and I would love to keep in touch.
Yeah,
and,
same here.
Yeah.
I will make sure to get you. I don't know if Lauren sent you a PDF copy of the book. I'd love your feedback and any other ideas as we work on this idea of combating loneliness.
I'm very excited about your book, and it looks very interesting, and I look forward to reading it.
Yeah, great, great. Hey, if people want to get in touch with you real quick before we let you go, what's the best way to reach out if they wanted to follow up with a question or find out more about what you're doing?
Well, Google me. My email is pretty easy to find online. And if nothing else, you can find me on LinkedIn and Twitter. So it should be pretty easy to locate me.
Great. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for your time, and I'm grateful to be able to spend a little bit with you today.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Together on the Bridge Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a beat. Share your thoughts and questions about this episode by emailing podcast@wearethebridge.org. You can find other great podcasts by heading over to the Listen tab at wearethebridge.org/podcast.